The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Moye. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moye, and we're here for a fresh spin on issues facing athlete and entertainers. Now, the Sports Maverick Show is here for you to, number one, take those issues that athletes face off the kitchen table and into America's living room for real dialogue. We try to redefine the elite athlete and bridge that gap between parents, athletes, and the community that sometimes gets a little murky. We provide original programming that balances the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. We engage in straight talk, spontaneous, interactive, and unscripted by our experts. We try to bring to you the challenges and also some of the successes that we see in sports, but we try to help families navigate the transition from high school, college, and the pros, and sometimes beyond. Sports should be fun. We should make it a family affair. And again, we get beyond the cheers and the noise, and we deal with the whole person, that is the athlete and the role model. Again, I'm Ida Moye, your host, and I will be talking to you tonight and introducing our special guests. Keep in mind, our guests are chosen because they have the ability to contribute real-life experiences and provide solutions for today's athletes. And my guest tonight is no stranger to Sports Maverick. In fact, he has been a guest on our show before. His name is Dr. Todd Kays. Now, Dr. Kays, of course, comes with a very unbelievable long-term career in dealing with the mental state of the athlete. He's a sports and performance psychologist in Central Ohio and a president and founder of Athletic Mind Institute. He attended University of Notre Dame for his undergraduate work and his doctoral work at the State University of New York at Buffalo. He has worked with athletes of all ages and ability levels, including Olympic players, professionals, collegiate, high school, has helped them become better people and athletes. Dr. Kay was the first sports psychologist at Ohio State University and currently serves as a consultant to numerous coaches and student athletes at the university, as well as being an adjunct faculty member of the Department of Psychology. Dr. Kay also has been a sports psychologist for Columbus Crew, the Major League Soccer team in Columbus, Ohio, for over 5 years, and has worked with numerous soccer players and coaches at all levels of sports throughout the country and the world. Of course, Dr. Kay probably can give us a little take on what's going on in that World Cup when we bring him here. I want to welcome Dr. Kay to the show. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kay.
Oh, thank you for having me, and it's good to be back.
Well, you know, you're back here with a book, but before that, you've already authored over 4 books, Athletes Journal, Golf Journal, Positive Transition for Student Athletes, Life Skill Transition in Sports, College, and Careers, The Parent Playbook, Developing a Game Plan for Maximizing a Child's Athletic Experience, and you produced The Peak Mental Performance in Golf, Sharpening the Mental Side of Your Game, a CD, book, and video series addressing mental training for the sports of golf. Now, here in 2010, you have now come back with another outstanding achievement, and that is your new book, and that is called Sports Psychology for Dummies. Why did you choose that subject matter? Why did you choose that title?
Well, you know, it came down to certainly approaching that in sports psychology, there's a lot of great sports psychologists out there, a lot of great information. But my co-author and myself wanted to make it real. We wanted to make it hands-on. We wanted to give them tools that they can utilize immediately. As opposed to, some of the stories that sports psychologists tell are wonderful stories. They're great examples. But we wanted to make a more hands-on. You can pick up this book and say, look, I want to improve my focus. What can I do? Because, the fact of the matter is that going to see a sports psychologist can be expensive, and not everybody can afford that, and certainly there's not enough sports psychologists out there to cover the masses of people involved in sports. And so we wanted to make this a hands-on toolbox for athletes at the professional level all the way down to youth and parents and coaches that could use it immediately.
No, I understand it's not in full print yet until August. It'll be in the bookstores in August.
Yes.
So I don't want to give away all the thunder on the book because I want people to definitely go out and get the book. Where would it be available in August?
It will be available on all the major book retailers, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, certainly at all the Dummies books, that Dummies.com, with all the Dummies brand books that are out there, certainly on their website now. And I know that they can pre-order if they want, but certainly by August it will be in all the major retailers throughout the country.
Yeah, well, we'll give them the actual website where they can pre-order, and make sure we do that here before the break. I want to talk a little bit about the premise of the book. When we talk about sports psychology, it sometimes get lost in, is this called motivation? Is this team building? What is sports psychology?
Well, it's simply, from my perspective, it's simply two things. It's helping the athlete perform better both on the field of play as well as in life. And I don't differentiate. Some sports psychologists do. I don't differentiate because I think my focus is on their both mental as well as their emotional side. So if you can have all the mental tools and be ready to go from a performance standpoint, but if you don't have your emotional life together, that is going to impact, and vice versa. You could have a great emotional life and balance and making right decisions both in and out of your sport, but also if you don't have those mental skills, those tools to train, as I tell them, your mental muscle, which works like every other muscle in your body, if you don't have that, you're not going to be able to perform to your maximum benefit. So to me, sports psychology is simply helping athletes perform better, and for me, it's both on and off the field.
That's very important. Now, you mentioned the word emotional. We hear a lot of talk about emotional intelligence. How does that fit into the equation?
Well, emotional intelligence is a little bit of a different concept. That's certainly more a concept of understanding your own emotions and your being able to pick up on the emotions of others. But certainly, when it comes to sports, in terms of more emotional development, typically what we're dealing with more and we're helping with more are things such as, how do you, handle drugs and alcohol issues? How do you handle depression? How do you handle anxiety? How do you handle, for some athletes, it's more eating issues and eating disorders for certainly more than ever today because of the pressure that is involved in sports. You see a lot more younger kids dealing with anxiety, stress, and pressure, and resulting over time into sometimes low-grade depression. So when we speak of more the emotional side, that's more kind of the emotional, personal side of how an athlete at whatever level of sport they are is conducting and able to lead their life.
Well, again, when we talk about drugs, alcohol, those are just determining whether or not you're going to use those things or you're going to follow that lifestyle. Isn't that a matter of filtering? In other words, where does the filtering process comes in? Because you're bombarded as an athlete, particularly, you know, things are so competitive today, and you're bombarded with things every single day that's put right in front of you. I remember when I was listening to some of the guys talking in baseball, and they were just talking about how things were just thrown at them, you know, and, you know, it was a choice of either you were going to do it or were not going to do it. So how do you filter some of this stuff? And how do you build the skills for filtering some of this?
Well, one of it is what you're doing here today, is you're putting the issues on the table. And there's two sides. When you think of drugs, there's two sides in sports. There's the performance-enhancing drugs, like PEDs, as they're referred to. And then there's the more the recreational drugs, the marijuana and the alcohol being of the primary ones, certainly in today's day and age. So I think it's going out and beginning to educate. It's beginning to set standards, though. I mean, part of my work in university athletic departments today is simply to address the drug and alcohol and performance-enhancing drugs that are happening. We're not ignoring them. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk real about them. We're going to talk about not only their disadvantages, which is what most people talk about, don't do this, and this is what it does bad to you, but I also come from the perspective, you got to talk about there are real benefits. And so it's not about snowing them and saying, trying to trick them. It's about, okay, these are real, and you have to, it comes down to decisions you're going to make. It ultimately comes down to values. Okay, you may not believe that marijuana should be illegal, but that doesn't matter. It is illegal today, and it ultimately comes down to a value judgment that you make. You say you don't. You say that you value integrity and honesty in the game. Well, if you want to live according to your values, then you're not going to be taking any of the stimulants or other performance-enhancing drugs if you first and foremost value integrity. So I think part of it is really striking at the values of people. And it's not just educating them about the effects, because we've done that for years and it's not working. So we have to really strike at the heart, and that's the values. And I think we do have to set standards. I think
that's very important, talk about values and standards. And we're going to come back after the break with a continue this discussion with Dr. K, and we're going to talk about, again, some of the premises of the books. First of all, let's talk about setting and reaching goals, the art of setting goals. We'll be back in three. This is Ida Moya, your host, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
Is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter, formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lasseter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lasseter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyer, and we're giving you a fresh spin on issues facing athletes and entertainers. And my special guest tonight is Dr. Todd Case. He is the author of a brand new book that is called Sports Psychology for Dummies. And it will be in all your bookstores and outlets. And, of course, you can also purchase it. There are some pre-sales going on. It is a must-have. Make sure you put that in your library. All the coaches that are listening out there and all the athletes that are listening out there and my parents out there, write that down, Sports Psychology for Dummies. And later on, we'll tell you how you can buy that book prior to its actual release in August. I want to welcome Dr. K back to the show.
Well, it's always good to be here.
Well, Dr. Case, you know, at the break we were talking about actually, you know, some of the choices that athletes have to make, but also we're talking about alcohol and drugs and we talked about the actual performance enhancing being a difference. But what always baffles me is why all of these athletes at high pain levels always are stopped for DUIs. It's almost like it's systemic, almost. What do you attribute to that?
Well, I think, you know, there's a number of things that go on with all people. I mean, some athletes, they do enjoy and they have a privileged lifestyle from a financial standpoint, many of them. And so they tend to enjoy that lifestyle. Nothing wrong with that. But I think sometimes at higher levels, when you see a lot of money, a lot of fame, a lot of power, there becomes a sense of entitlement, and that they can take on an air that they are above the law, that they can do things and get away with them. And so, you know, in some cases, they may be drinking and driving, thinking that, well, I'm not going to get caught. But that's not a professional athlete thinking. I think that's a human way to think about it, because many, many people drink and drive. So I think that, you know, there is a sense of entitlement that they may have, that even if they do get caught, they're going to get away with it, and many do.
Let's just look at the basic question. You can drive drunk and kill somebody. Mm-hmm. That has happened on many occasions. So why do it? I mean, what goes into – when I talk about the filtering, I make $25 million over 2 years, for instance. And I'm getting in my $400,000 car, drunk as a skunk, driving home. Coming from the corporate world, looking at that, does not make sense to me. And that baffles me. And I think you're on top of it when you talk about, you know, I can do this. I can handle this. You know, I'm invincible. I can do this. But then in the long run, you know, I'm so glad there's a new sheriff in town, you know, and these commissioners are now starting to take the reins now from some of the high-paid players and saying, look, you know, we're setting standards, and that's what you talked about there. Let's talk about just the budding athlete, because, you know, today, you know, we've got so many kids out there that want to play sports. I mean, you know, you see it, 13-year-olds in tennis, you know, that are washed up. You see golfers, you know, budding golfers coming up. And then you also, of course, now we've got the soccer craze in America. I'm sure there'll be a push for that. But, you know, it all begins, I believe, with setting and reaching goals. And that's what your book talks about. So let's talk about that. How do we begin to teach a budding athlete and a parent as well how to set and reach goals? I mean, what do you do with them? What does your book say about that?
Well, there's a number of things. I think there are the, you know, the standard goal setting that occurs throughout school in terms of set a very specific goal, put a time frame on it, you know, make it realistic, make it challenging, and so forth like that. So there's those, what they call those SMART goals, S-M-A-R-T, SMART goals. And so that's very important. But there's two things that I think are the most important thing when I look at setting goals is that the first thing is you got to love what you're doing. That's the first thing, because if you're going to commit to being in sports for a long time, you want to love it. And if you're not passionate about it, do something else. And I think what I see at the youth level a lot more is, and parents grapple with this, you know, if their kids, they spend a lot of time, yet they change, you know, at the high school level, they change and maybe their interest isn't there. And so the first and foremost thing is you got to be passionate about your goals. If you want to play at the college level, you got to really want that. And that just ebbs and flows. And so the second thing about goals that I think, you know, and that I, you know, really emphasize, you got to have accountability, because inevitably we have things that get in our way. We have challenges, we have personal challenges, we have setbacks, we have injuries, we get cut, we have poor seasons, we have poor games. Inevitably, we're going to have challenges. And so you've got to have somebody, you know, a mentor, a teammate, a coach, a parent, hold you accountable. And that way, because sometimes you need that kick in the pants. You know, sometimes what I consider what I do is sometimes I give the athletes a hug and sometimes I give them a kick in the pants, because that's what they need at times. They need to be accountable, because we all need to be accountable. And that's what, you know, whether you look at sports psychology or whether you look at life coaching, that's what that's about. And so I find when people have some sort of an accountability system in place, they are much, much, much more likely to reach their goals, because they have somebody pushing them, encouraging them, supporting them at the same time.
Well, you know, it's very interesting when you talk about how they play different sports. And I remember having Ross Bronner on, and Ross Bronner, of course, was, you know, Notre Dame. You're from Notre Dame, so the name should be very familiar to you.
Oh, yeah.
And Ross did a special talking about how to actually develop yourself as a lead athlete. And Ross told me he played three different sports in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he was good at all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, but when you wake up in the morning and you can almost feel the sport and you want to do it every day, that's when you know that's the one you need to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you go back to, you know, the kids realizing, and I've talked to several athletes that have called me and talked to me, and, you know, a lot of times their mothers call me and ask me, what do I think? And I've said to them, you know, first thing that I believe is you got to set a joint goal. You got to set a goal in academics, and you got to set one in sports excellence. I don't care what you play. Just make sure you do it in excellence, you know. So academic, because you got to be eligible to be able to play the sport. You know, it's like the you can't do the cart before the horse, you know. So, and then from the perspective of choosing a sport, then I think that's really where, you know, the guidance comes in. And I was talking to a coach the other day who's a high school coach, and he was saying that a lot of times the kids fall through the cracks because they don't make that transition. That they do not say, this is the goal. I've not said this is the goal. I think I can play all these sports at the next level. But believe it or not, when they're recruiting, they're recruiting for specific sports. They're not coming to you to say, well, I may play here, I may play here. very few Division One schools are going to have you playing two sports. They're going to give you consideration for one sport, mostly anything else. And I'm just wondering, in your GOAT setting, do you run into, do you see those kind of issues as well?
Sure. I think when it comes to goals, and I think it's tough. I go against specialization of sports at a young age. I'm totally against it. I think you can have a primary sport, but you want to have a secondary, maybe a third sport, or that you're playing, because you learn so many different sports skills. You learn so many different things from playing different sports. And if you specialize too early, those kids, eventually, they may have had that goal to play at a collegiate level, but inevitably I see more and more that their fire begins to fizzle by...
So based on that scenario, would you say that maybe when you get to the high school is probably when you really need to settle in on what you want to do, play different sports there and make that transition somewhere, say, maybe in your sophomore, junior year? Is that...
I go primary and secondary, in that I think all through your high school career, you're going to have a primary sport that probably, if you really want to play at the collegiate level, that you're going to have to put a lot of time into. But I do not give up those other sports. And it may not be you're not competing in them as intensely, but do not give them up, because they give these young athletes, they give them the psychological break they need. They teach them new things, different things. They get under a different coach, different types of players, different types of sports. The learning is invaluable. There are many college coaches now that like to see athletes who have played multiple sports because they learn so much. You'll see a lot of collegiate golf coaches love to see golfers, which you think of specializing, they'll sometimes recruit ones who played other sports because they developed a mental toughness from playing basketball, or a mental toughness from running track that they didn't get from golf. And so, again, choose a primary sport because of the time commitment involved, but also have that secondary to balance your life, because if you want to do this for a long time, 4 years in high school, 4 years in college, it's a lot of time and dedication. So that's why you got to have that balance.
Good enough. Okay, we're going to go to break again here. And, folks, we're talking to Dr. Todd Case. He's he's an author of a new book called Sports Psychology for Dummies. It'll be in full print in August, but you can get it beforehand here. We'll give you the website when we come back from our break here, so that you can, in fact, do get your pre-order on that. We're going to come back and continue talking about the four premises of his book. We just got through talking about setting and reaching your goals. We'll come back and talk about play your best under pressure. We'll talk about what that means in terms of potential. This is Ida Moya, your host. You're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of Sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network with hunting and fishing info news, talking about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and getting more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. Pacific Time for IS Outdoors on the Voice America Sports Channel. With their combined experience of 60 years in the woods, Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they are also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. IS Outdoors offers brisk interaction with the audience, soliciting opinions and questions on a wide range of outdoor subjects. Tune in every Thursday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time to the IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyer, and my special guest tonight is Dr. Todd Hayes. He is indeed here talking about his new book, which is in fact called Sports Psychology for Dummies. I'm going to welcome the doctor back to the show. Welcome back to the show, doctor.
Thank you.
Now, tell us where we can get that book before August. What website can they go to pre-order that book?
I think it's probably the easiest way is the Dummies website, www.dummies.com.
Okay, folks, www.dummies.com. And look up Todd M. Case, Ph.D., and the book is called Sports Psychology for Dummies. Now, at the break, we were talking about setting goals and reaching those goals, and we got into talking about playing different sports and things like that. Well, one of our listeners out there sent me an email, and thank you very much for that, Jan. And Jan wanted to know, was there any other sport than baseball that her son could use as a secondary sport because he is just getting started in middle school. He likes baseball, but he wants to perfect himself, and he thought about going into football, but he wasn't sure if that was a good sport or not for him because he plays baseball. And what do you have to say about that, doctor?
Well, I think the first thing is whatever the secondary sport is, the first and foremost thing is you consider mentally, emotionally. It needs to be fun because when you're playing a primary sport, and again, today's different than it was 20 years ago, where to play a primary sport is almost like a full-time job. So the first thing you want to consider is you want to make sure it's fun and they enjoy it, first and foremost. Now, in terms of sport-specific skills, the sport that he plays is not going to matter. He is going to learn at that age, he's going to learn so many different things. If he plays football, he's going to learn so many different foot skills, hand skills, conditioning skills. He's going to learn so much from that. Is that going to help him out in baseball? Certainly it will. If he runs track, okay, is that going to carry over into baseball? Certainly foot speed, hand-eye coordination. There's all kinds of things that are going to carry over from one sport to the next. So I think more importantly, at his age, he wants to make sure his secondary sport is something he is truly having fun with so that when he goes to play his primary sport, which is tends to be a lot of times all year round now, that he is just fresh and he's ready to go and he's having fun, he's sharp, he's focused, and so he maximizes his mental state when he's at baseball simply because he was playing another sport that kind of gives him a break from the daily grind and the weekly, monthly grind of baseball.
It's almost like having a balance in sports, almost, isn't it?
Exactly.
You know? So if you lose one game, you might win the next one in another sport. It may actually pick you up. Now,
that's
we
right.
talk about the next premise of your book, which is play your best under pressure. Now, that's obviously, a lot of people say, I play my best under pressure. That's when my greatest potential comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that really what you're talking about there?
Well, yeah, and I think that is certainly there are some athletes who really naturally, from a very young age, naturally thrive under pressure. They love it. They want to be that person sometimes at a young age where give me the pitch on the mound in the bottom of the last inning. Give me the ball to make the last shot in basketball. A quarterback at a, you know, in biddy league football where they're just saying he or she wants that ball, okay? And so that's something that, you know, is something that's natural that they've had for many years. But I think 90-95% of the issues that bring athletes to sports psychology deal with this inability or lack of know-how of how to manage under pressure. They can perform extremely well in practice. Coaches see it. They're fine with it. But somehow, when they cross that competition line, when it really starts to matter, things change. And then they can't perform. And so that is probably one of the most common things we see in the field, is athletes wanting to learn when the pressure is on, when I need to make this shot, what do I do?
Well, a good example we've been seeing is this NBA Finals. I mean, I said to someone, you know, you're letting the Celtics stay too long. Because, you know, at some point in time, to them, they're learning how to play under pressure. I mean, they're always, you know, in these dead heats towards the end. Then all of a sudden, they come out of nowhere and they win these games.
Mm-hmm.
And to, that's clearly that, you know, they're not frayed by the pressure. You know, I mean, if you look the other day when, you know, here Kobe was making 18 points and everybody else wasn't making anything. And it was like, it doesn't matter if you make these points. We can do this, you know. And I'm looking at that, and, of course, they're playing, you know, they're playing tonight. And I'm looking at that and saying to myself, that's pressure. That's pressure. But they always seem to prevail. But, you know, I've talked to a lot of athletes who have find themselves sometimes on the bench,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they call them when they're in a clutch. They call them clutch players or, you know, mm-hmm. in that respect. And that has to be someone who is basically, I would think, perfected that playing under pressure. Because they have to come off cold and go out into, you know, a situation that's either a do it or not do it type situation. So, I mean, do you think we do a great job with that? Because you're saying that's a big issue. I mean, what can the coaches do better to really help and enhance that a little bit better?
Well, there's a number of things that coaches can do, but I think the whole premise of pressure is really that pressure doesn't exist. If you really look at it, pressure does not exist. Pressure exists only in the mind of an athlete.
Okay.
So the reason, for example, if you look at, you know, what the Celtics are doing now, they're focusing on what they need to do. I think they're doing a good job of staying with who they are. They're staying on their, for example, their defense. Their defense has been very, very one of their weapons. And so they are able to stay very focused on that, and so they're thinking about play great defense. They're not thinking the outcome. They're not thinking about what ifs. They're thinking about play great defense. The rest will take care of itself. It's usually they're staying focused on the task at hand. They're not thinking about the outcomes. When we think about the outcomes, that's what creates pressure. Okay, so it's the thinking in our minds is what creates the pressure, because if you have to make a free throw with 3 seconds left on the clock to tie the game, The actual execution of a free throw is the same. It's the same exact as it was 3 seconds into the game and you were on the foul line. Okay, the only difference that exists is what goes on in the athlete's mind, and they start thinking too much, and then they get away from what they know how to do. Their muscles tighten, their heart starts racing. Not because they don't know how to shoot a free throw. It's because all the kind of the muck in their head created the pressure, which changed the body and the muscle tension and so forth. So what we need to do, and what we try to do as sports psychologists and coaches need to do this, is continue to train their athletes daily on working that mental muscle, okay, just like they do their physical muscles. The mental muscle works exactly like the physical muscles. And so what they need to do in practice is get them, create drills, put their focus on this is what we're doing today, and this is what matters today, and not emphasize outcomes, not emphasize what's going to happen next week. It's we're going to execute this today, and this is our job, and let's get it done.
I thought it was very interesting, something that Doc Rivers said, and it's the mantra of the team. And the mantra is that nobody is great on our team. We are great as a team.
Mm-hmm.
So the emphasis is that nobody, so the youngsters, the older guys, it doesn't matter. Everybody is on equal footing, you know. Mm-hmm. So therefore, our job is to bring that trophy home. And it's not to worry about all this, you know, if you make more money, I make more money, and all that. None of that stuff is in there. This is about the team, and nobody is bigger than the team. And he's been, and I understand when they this is their mantra that they've been following throughout this whole playoff. But I guess that's actually to the next premise of developing winning habits, you know, making things happen. You know, I mean, where do these winning habits come from? These are learned behaviors, I'm assuming.
Absolutely, absolutely. They develop them from a young age. And that's why one of the things with going back to what we were talking about in terms of primary and secondary sports and specialization, you've got to learn, as you were talking earlier in the show, the habits of excellence, okay? And whatever those habits are, they cut across anything you do. So you need to learn discipline, for example. Well, when I tell them, and I encourage push coaches, you know, you need to, if you want to get the best out of your athletes, you need to discipline them in the classroom, because if they can learn that discipline, that'll carry over into the field or the court. But you need to push them, and you need to set that standard that discipline in the classroom is just as important. And watch what happens on the field, because they're learning the habits of success.
So discipline in the classroom transfers into discipline on the field.
Absolutely.
So it's almost like, you know, when they talk about transferable skills, if it's learned in the classroom, it's learned on the field, or teach it in on the field and bring it to the classroom.
Exactly.
They are transferable. Okay, we're going to come back in about three here, and we'll conclude our broadcast here tonight. But before we do, we're going to ask Dr. Todd Kays about bouncing back from adversity and how you do that. This is Ida Moye. You're listening to the Sports Maverick Show. We'll be back in three.
Actions speak louder than words, and you know talk is cheap. Talking only.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
We some hard hitters. We
be some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Tune into the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
School to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Mavericks Show. It's Ida Moyer. And, of course, if you've been listening to us the greater part of this hour, we have been talking to Todd M. Case. Dr. Case has a brand new book. It is a must-have for athletes, for their parents, caretakers, for coaches, compliance people, and other sports psychologists out there. It is called Sports Psychology for Dummies. You can go to www.dummies.com and get your copy early. The first release will come out in August in stores, but you can actually get your copy there and look for it there. And I've just enjoyed this time speaking to Dr. Case. I'm going to bring him back, and we're going to talk about bouncing back from adversity, the fourth premise of the book. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Case.
All right, ready to wind the last part of it up
I'm
with you.
I'm telling you, you know, we're like in the nth degree here, and we've done this, and we know what we have to do here. You know, everybody wants to know the age-old question. How is Tiger going to bounce back from all of this adversity?
Well, I think that that's the one great thing about sports is that it teaches us certainly, because if you're going to be in sports, you are going to face adversity. You're going to face challenges, as you know, on a daily basis. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have poor performances. You're going to have conflicts with teammates. You're going to have conflicts with coaches. You're going to have times when you get cut. You're going to have painful times in the weight room. So when you talk about facing adversity, you just have to know that when you go into sports, that's going to be there, and that's going to be kind of one of those things that's a blessing and a curse, because it's going to teach you so much, but it's real painful to go through. So, yes, Tiger has his hands full because he's obviously one of a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete, and I've respected what he has done on the course over the years. But he certainly has his emotional and his mental health. That's what we were talking about earlier in the show. His mental health and emotional issues are certainly, to whatever degree, I'm not sure, but certainly they're impacting certainly his performance and what he does for his career. And it would affect anybody. He just happens to be a person who has to, who's on a, you know, a worldwide stage that has to, you know, deal with this stuff in front of a lot of people. So he's got a lot of mental, emotional work to do. Actually, that'll probably, I think he'll find what I find with many of the athletes I've worked with over the years who have sort of, you know, kind of those challenges, those personal challenges that, that they face in their careers. They find that those emotional issues are more difficult to face than any physical athletic challenge that they ever had in their life. So I think if Tiger really surrounds himself with the right people and he does the right things and he really gives himself the time that is needed to emotionally recover from the events of his life, then I think he'll be fine. But he's got a long road ahead of him.
Well, you know, we go back to the mental toughness that he's always demonstrated, the discipline that he's always demonstrated, and just the tenacity to play even when he's hurt. I mean, all of that stuff has to be some aid to him, but obviously the issues are, like you said, overwhelming right now. And when you think you've cleared one hurdle, you're dealing with another hurdle, and that you don't know what to believe in that regard. But if you're talking to an athlete out there who just found out that he's been in high school, he was a star in high school, he comes to college, and he now finds out that he's redshirted. He's not going to play. That's kind of hard, very hard. And even if you're a true freshman, sometimes you don't get to play. That's kind of hard. So how do you deal with that? What reserve do you look for in order to be able to get through that?
Well, when you have those types of events, that's why it is critical to have that support team, because that support team is going to help you, because we need that emotional support when we face those times. But the second thing is when they face like that, when they go to college and they're redshirted or they find that they are not going to get any minutes or any playing time that whole year, you know, one of the things that two things I emphasize. One is that you've got to focus on what you have control over, okay? Your coach's decisions are not yours, so quit worrying about them. You've got to focus on getting better, okay? You've got to focus on getting better as an athlete yourself today. And there's a business consultant that I, Alan Weiss, that I kind of have learned from, that he talked in the business world, he talked about getting 1% better every day. And that's what I emphasize to athletes, whether you're, you know, you've got a long road because you just blew out your ACL and you've got a long road of recovery ahead of you, or you're going to be redshirted for a year. Your job is to keep your focus on what you have control over, and you get make sure that at the end of the day, when you walk out of that field or that practice or that training, that you got 1% better at the very least. And if you start putting those all together, just think where you'll be 30 days, 60 days, 90 days from now. I mean, you're going to be a lot further, okay? So if you think into the future about what if, okay, you've got to put what you have control on today, and you've got to put your focus there and really get better today. And that's one of the things that I think when we face adversity, we start thinking about the what ifs in the future, and we make this big thing out of this huge thing that we don't have any control of, and the what ifs. And we've got to bring it down right to the present moment, and we got to say, what am I going to do to get better today? And again, that's where we all, and this isn't just for athletes, this is for professionals, this is for parents, this is for coaches, this is for, we all need that. We all need
all professionals, to be honest with you. What can you control? I mean, my goodness, how many of us always talk about what if this happens, what if that happens? Sometimes you worry about more than never even happens, and it does more harm with the worry than anything else in that regard. So I think you're absolutely right when you say that. And, wow, that's a mouthful. Now, you know, we see adversity every day, like you said, in sports. You injuries, you have to overcome that. Bad press, you have to overcome that. And I think about this one kid, and when you were talking, he just came to mind with me, a gentleman by the name of Willie Green, and he was Mr. Football of Florida and Mr. Basketball of Florida. And Willie never got to play but maybe four or five times at the college level. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't handle it. So he never really, you know, was able. He had so many injuries, he never could overcome it. So I think he could have used your book. So mothers and fathers that are out there, coaches, get the book, Sports Psychology for Dummies, www.dummies.com. Don't forget this name, Dr. Todd M. Case. He's got the right stuff, folks. Get that book. Thank you again for listening to a beautiful show tonight. And Dr. Case, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And please don't be a stranger to Sports Maverick. Please come back. We love hearing from you.
I will. You keep up the great work.
Thank you much, doctor. Bye-bye. Good night, folks.
Thank you for joining Ida Moyet and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.